Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Here I am, opposite number 5, Cheyne Walk in Chelsea, London. This is now, ironically perhaps, the Cypriot High Commission. Or is it the Cypriot High Commission's residence? Anyway, on the 7th of July 1972, this is where secret negotiations took place between the Provisional Irish Republican Army, an illegal terrorist organisation, and Her Majesty's government. So, Dahi O'Connell, who was then Chief of Staff of the IRA, well, let's call him his real name, David O'Connell. John Stevenson, who went by the alias Sean McStephen, was here. Gerard Adams, Ivor Bell, Seamus Toomey, known as Moss Toomey. I think that was all from the IRA side. Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Willie Whitelaw, perhaps some other officials, met here for a couple of hours. I believe it was in the afternoon. So this was 1972, the bloodiest year of the Troubles. Over 500 people were killed, mostly in Northern Ireland, some in Southern Ireland, and some in England. The IRA never killed anybody in Scotland or Wales in the modern Troubles. The 26th of June, the IRA had called a truce. They'd made an agreement with the British Armed Forces that there would be no more attacks, no more slayings, no more bombings. The security forces had agreed that they wouldn't arrest more IRA men or search more properties. Obviously, the unionist politicians were very worried about this. Any rapprochement between London and the Republican movement could only be at the cost of unionism. So the loyalist terrorists, they stepped up their bestial sectarian attacks, thinking that they might draw the IRA back into conflict. And eventually the whole thing would collapse and the security forces say, well, we're going to have to fight. Anyway, because that month, June, had been the bloodiest month of all, about 100 people killed in June alone. And there'd already been feelers put out by the United Kingdom government via the SDLP. The Social Democratic and Labour Party was a constitutional nationalist party. They wanted a 32-county republic, but they believed in using exclusively peaceful means to bring that about. But obviously, they often lived cheek by jowl with the IRA. They knew who they were, and they were able to point the government negotiators in the right direction. Possibly some Catholic priests used as conduits as well. That was certainly happening in the 1990s. The MI6 had some meetings with the IRA, with Sean McStephen and others, notably Gerard Adams, then 23 years of age. He was interned in Longkesh, being an IRA man. He wrote the Brownie column for Anfoblach, Republican News, saying, "Rightly or wrongly, I'm an IRA volunteer. He has lied and lied and lied for over 50 years, saying he was never in the IRA when everybody knows he was. And very senior IRA men say that he was." Anyway, that's a separate issue. But he was clearly important to the IRA, and one of their preconditions with Sawkes is that he be allowed out, and indeed he was. It was John Philip Woodfield, an MI6 officer, and Frank Steele, another one. They'd met some of the IRA, and they'd found these guys to be actually quite mannerly. Surprisingly, considering they were willing to murder lots of civilians, as well as the security forces, set off car bombs in city centres, things of that nature, engaging in a sectarian murder campaign, just like the loyalists, despite claiming to be anti-sectarian. So some days later, this meeting was arranged here. It was to be kept secret. The IRA and Sinn Féin, they later publicised this. It was the home of Paul Shannon, a Conservative Member of Parliament. Shannon's father was an American who'd come to the United Kingdom around the time of the First World War, become a naturalised Briton, and a Conservative MP, Chips Shannon, who was famous as a diarist. And his account of what was going on behind the scenes of the Second World War is absolutely scintillating. But that's another story. He was a very wealthy guy. So Cheyne Walk was seen to be very far away from conflict-ravaged Ulster. But the negotiations break down. Now, John Stevenson was an Englishman who was a quarter Irish at most, hadn't even been to Ireland until he was about 21. He was a Londoner, he was in the Royal Air Force Regiment, and later he was in working for the railways. He got to know the extensive Irish community in North London, learnt the Irish language, moved to Ireland and so on, and managed to become Chief of Staff of the IRA. Bizarrely, was also intensely religious. There was a double think among him because, of course, the IRA were anathematized by the Catholic hierarchy. By being an IRA man, you were automatically excommunicated. That didn't stop priests providing the Blessed Sacraments to men whom they knew were in the IRA and so on. So the talks came here, and I saw a documentary about it in the early 1990s, and one of the former government ministers said, "We did this to see what they wanted," but you knew what they wanted. They told you that every single day. So John Stevenson's demand was that Her Majesty's government would say they were going to withdraw from Northern Ireland, obviously expel Northern Ireland from the United Kingdom, and then it would be subsumed into the Republic. And obviously that was step one for the Republican movement. They wanted to revolutionise the Republic of Ireland. They were almost communists. Now, I know the Provisional IRA were not quite so much into that. They felt that was anti-religious. Okay, so coming a little bit closer, you can see, look at it, a six-storey building. So gorgeous. I think it's an 18th century house. I don't know which room they met in. Were there note takers? Certainly a minute it was taken. And the Prime Minister of the time, Edward Heath, was furnished with the outline of the meeting. And Willie Whitelaw, the Ulster Secretary, said, no, I can't possibly agree to what you want. We're not going to say that Northern Ireland's going to be kicked out of the United Kingdom, because we have an obligation to abide by the will of the majority of Northern Ireland, and a high majority of them want to stay within the United Kingdom. So the Ulster Unionists, the Democratic Unionist Party, will never accept this. Probably most of the Alliance Party too. So, no. And it really deteriorated from there. So the IRA have been talking in terms of victory 72, victory 73. They really thought that they could have the United Kingdom kick Northern Ireland out. Well, the UK was not going to betray Northern Ireland, so the conflict dragged on and so on. And that was it. Stevenson, he later went on a hunger strike in the Republic of Ireland, and indeed thirst strike. But then he was taking rather a lot of showers. He was interned in, no, he was not interned, I think he was convicted. Because crucially, we in the Republic of Ireland did not introduce internment in the 70s. If we had done, that would have reduced the IRA's campaign about 90%, and therefore the Loyalist terrorist campaign too. But anyway, one of the prison officers looked into the shower and saw that Stevenson was drinking the water. His reputation never recovered. He was no longer chief of staff of the IRA, and he lived in relative obscurity in the Gaeltacht in County Meath, dying in the 90s. He wrote his memoirs of a revolutionary. The meetings came to an end then. Later, when the Thatcher became prime minister in 1979, she said, no talking to terrorists, that's it. And so she was very stalwart. She would defend the United Kingdom while seeking to develop more amicable relations with the Republic of Ireland. She was also helped that Garrett Fitzgerald, he was perhaps the most honourable Taoiseach. He was the Fine Gael Taoiseach for most of the 1980s. And he was constructive in his engagement with the United Kingdom. His mother was a Presbyterian from County Antrim. Perhaps it made him a little bit more broad-minded on this and thought that, you know, Ulster Protestants were not all demons. Goodness. So that is just a little-known aspect of the troubles that took place here at Cheyne Walk. Goodness, and they encouraged Gerard Adams to pursue university education. He wanted to do that, but you know, he wanted to win first. Well, that never ever happened for him. All right, so that's a scintillating little side chapter to the Ulster Troubles. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Today, PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. As they pointed out, it was Doughy O'Connell was clearly in command of the meeting. The others were subordinates. And they've been picked up somewhere in Belfast. I don't know where they met the army, and flown by helicopter. And they're quite worried that the IRA might shoot them down despite the ceasefire. Okay, thanks for watching my channel. And make sure you subscribe on Patreon, today, PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Toodaloo.